The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
So, in the fantasy world, Tyreek Hill, I mean, I don't know how it works in regular fantasy leagues. Who plays that anymore? DraftKings, he put up over 60 fantasy points. I've never heard of that before. I don't know if that's a record or not, but I had Tyreek Hill, so I'm happy about that. Chris Carson giving me a good game tonight. I'm going to win the league. Beat my nemesis, Raj, who's also the producer on this show, chiming in from L.A. That'll be two in a row for me, Raj. Who has the most first-place finishes in our league this year?
It'd be pretty tight between you and I. Mason's won a couple times. Yeah. So, thank you for the contributions, Ben Lyons and Bill Wolf and
yes,
everybody.
I appreciate them lining our pockets. By the way, I got a story to tell about that. It was such a nightmare entering my DraftKings team this week. But anyway, in the fantasy world, Tyreek Hill was unbelievable, and in reality he was, and he might be the best receiver in football right now. You know, he's not just like a return guy who can catch a little bit. He's a great receiver. And he is, Cheetah is the perfect nickname for him because he is the fastest land mammal. It is true. I believe that's been proven. But at any rate, in terms of the reality, Patrick Mahomes is... If Aaron Rodgers had come into the league with a great coach and weapons everywhere, then we'd be like, Rodgers at his best, Mahomes at his best. But Rodgers never had that luxury. Mahomes did. And that, you know, it puts him in a better position to be having so far, by far, and clearly, the greatest career of all time. 3 years in. Who's ever had a better career than this 3 years in? Patrick Mahomes, 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. The first time he starts at quarterback. They go to the AFC Championship game. Tom Brady throws an interception. Game over. Pre-snap penalty gives the Patriots the ball back, and they never look back. Mahomes never touched the ball again. Otherwise, the Chiefs, they should have gone to the Super Bowl. Brady throws the interception. Game over. Chiefs and Mahomes in the Super Bowl, where they beat the Rams. After all, the Patriots beat the Rams in the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever played. Chiefs would have beaten the Rams. But anyway, that's not how it happened. He got the MVP of the regular season and went to the very end overtime of the AFC Championship game. First time he touches the ball. 50 touchdowns, leads the league, 12 interceptions. Next time, last year, 26 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Missed 2 games for injury. Improved his touchdown-interception ratio. Won the Super Bowl. Came back 3 consecutive games to Deshaun Watson, who's probably the second-best quarterback in the AFC. To the Titans, who had just beaten the Patriots and looked like here, and the Ravens. And here they come, Derrick Henry. And to San Francisco, who looked like the best team in football wire to wire, really, if it wasn't the Ravens. 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter. Mahomes calls his own number, takes like a 15-step drop, throws the ball 60 yards to win the game. And he follows that up right now? He has one loss on the season? Mahomes got one loss on the season. He's only thrown 2 interceptions, 30 touchdowns, and he's leading the league in yards. Do you understand? This year he's going to win regular season MVP. What if he also wins Super Bowl MVP and improves his touchdown interception ratio again? Who's in this guy's category? The only guy close was Rodgers in his prime. But Rodgers didn't have these weapons, so who knows? Mahomes is like if Mike Trout just won World Series MVP. Mahomes is like if LeBron James was drafted by the Warriors when they won 73 games, right? Mahomes is on a great team with great weapons and a great coach. And that was the league he entered into. He never had to, you know, worry about building and guys. Those guys were there when he got there. And he has this level of talent, and on top of that, has this gunslinger thing, but he never turns the ball over, and his teammates love him? What? This dude, he's the MVP. You know, like, look, Michael Jordan was the MVP for 10 straight years. They just didn't always give it to him, or for 10 years that he played, right? So, like, his rookie year, he dropped 28. He wasn't the best player in basketball yet, but he was top 5 as a rookie, Michael Jordan. His second year, he got hurt. He came back in the playoffs, gave the Celtics 63 at Boston Garden. Larry Bird said that's God in basketball shorts. And Bird, who was the best player in the world, looked at Jordan and said, yeah, that guy's better than me. And he was right. Game recognized game, right? When you don't have to worry about like being insecure about it, you just up it when you see it. Nah, that dude's even better than me. And then from Jordan's third year on until he retired the second time with the Bulls, he was way, way better than everybody else in the league. But they didn't give him the MVP every year. They gave him five of them. LeBron James nowadays, every year, by the time the finals are over, okay, that guy's the best player in basketball. Same thing, like Mahomes is that. Mahomes is, every year, when the season starts, who's going to win the Super Bowl? In the near future, I'm going to take the Chiefs. Who's going to win MVP? Mahomes. Who's the best player in football? Do you even have to ask? Let's be honest. I mean, Tyreek Hill, what is 269 receiving yards with three touchdowns. 269 receiving yards with three touchdowns in one game on 13 receptions. Mahomes. What did Mahomes do yesterday? 462 yards passing, three touchdowns, 37 of 49. He had 359 yards in the first half. It's the most first half passing yards by any player in a regular season games over the past 40 years. Peyton Manning once had 361 in a playoff game, which is odd because Peyton didn't usually do great in the playoffs. But look, Patrick Mahomes is in a category by... Well, Rodgers has that kind of talent, but where there is an edge, it goes to Mahomes. And Mahomes is playing with better players. And Mahomes has had much more recent success, both individually and from the point of view of a of a member of a team and a leader of a team. This dude's on another level. I told you that before the season started, by the way. I told you that last year. Last year, middle of the season, everyone had forgotten about the Chiefs. I was going on First Take, going, have we forgotten about the Chiefs? the team Patrick Mahomes plays for? It'll beat everybody. Meantime, in that same game, a guy who was once the best quarterback in football, all things considered, a guy who I said would fall off a cliff and did not. Falling off a cliff means you're amazing, you're amazing, you're amazing. One day you wake up and you're no good anymore. That's not, or you're just a guy. That's not Tom Brady. Tom Brady was amazing, 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 and it was a steady decline. It was more of a ravine than a cliff. But, oh, he is down it. You know, I mean, like, let's be honest about this for a second. People are trying to blame Bruce Arians. Why didn't Bruce Arians do this and do that? What? Hold on. Time out. So when the Bucs were coming back on the Chiefs, was that also Bruce Arians? Was that good coaching? Or was that good Tom Brady? In the beginning, it was bad Bruce Arians. At the end of the game, it was good Tom Brady. Right? Is that how it works? Remember the over-under for the Bucs this year was 9.5 games. I took the over. I figured 10 games. Because if Jameis Winston could win 7 games, a competent quarterback's going to win 9. And you give a little plus over a competent quarterback, a little marginal advantage over a competent quarterback, which is what Brady is nowadays, 10. That's what it is. They're 7-5 right now. They have 4 games on the schedule left. What did I say? Yeah, 4 games left. And it's a soft schedule. They'll win 3 of those games. They'll go 10-6, just like they were supposed to. Don't tell me now it's Bruce Arians. Before the season started. No risk it, no biscuit. How's that going to work? One dude wants the quarterback to throw down the field. The other dude, the quarterback, wants to dink and dunk. And don't tell me, well, Tom Brady dinked and dunked recently because that's what he had to do. No, he was dinking and dunking because that's what he could do successfully. That's what he could do. I mean, let's be honest. He was when Tom Brady tweeted at me or whatever that was, Cliff ? Right, and he had the miles per hour 61 on the radar gun. Yeah, Tom, if you muscle the ball, if you put your best fastball, you can still throw. But can you put it where you want it? The answer is no. He was overthrowing receivers, underthrowing receivers, throwing late, throwing wide left, wide right. He could, he was missing guys everywhere you could. Well, the Patriots have no weapons. How about the Bucks? Do they have weapons? They have a lot of weapons. Well, now he's getting used to a new system. It's excuse after excuse. Brady is still a solid quarterback. His QBR puts him 17th in the league. In average range, if you had to say high or low average, it's a tick under average. It's basically average range. And I would take Brady as an over-average quarterback still by a little bit. Because he's Tom Brady? Yeah, because Tom Brady in the moment of truth will tend to make better decisions than another guy. But he's 100, it's amazing he can even be this good because he's 150 years old. But he's not a great quarterback anymore. That's why Belichick wanted to move on. And by the way, who looks better right now, Belichick or Brady? Remember that whole thing? Remember when I said Belichick, Brady, that's what this whole season's about? Raj texting me. Remember when I said Belichick, Brady, that's what this whole season's about? The age-old debate in sports. The age-old debate in sports. One of the great ones of the modern era. Who is it more, Belichick or Brady? Early on, I admitted it looks like Brady. Yes, Brady set it up that way. Had Robert Kraft force Belichick to send Garoppolo out of town, according to reporting. And then left Belichick without a quarterback. And then Belichick doesn't have a defense because guys don't want to play because of COVID. And then Cam gets COVID, right? And then they have even fewer offensive weapons than last year. Belichick is one game under 500 right now. They had COVID. They had to shut down the facilities. And when you see that COVID period, they lost three straight games. But otherwise, they beat the Dolphins. They beat the Raiders. They just beat Arizona. They came a play away from beating the Bills, a play away from beating Seattle, and they're one game under 500. How's Belichick looking right now? I upped it early in the season. Okay, Brady's looking better than Belichick. How about now? That was straight talk, wireless, no contract, no compromise. Marcus Spears joins me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Marcus, what's up with Brady and the Bucks?
Well, based on this head coach, they're still trying to learn each other in week 12 of the NFL season. A part of it is Brady not playing well, Max. The other part is they're asking him to be someone he's never been. So there's a lot of blame to go out. But I'm more of a player execution, and what are you doing to overcome that? Especially when you Tom Brady in that situation. But, dude, I cannot get past what I'm seeing from Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich.
But hold on. Before we get to Arians and Leftwich, Marcus, going into the season, the whole thing was like, I'm like, hold on. You have a no-risk-it, no-biscuit coach and a dink-and-dunk quarterback. How's that going to work? You know, like, of course, that was part of it. Like, pointing to Arians, and remember what Floyd Mayweather used to say? Floyd used to say, you better not make no mistakes, because Floyd made fewer mistakes than the other guy, right? And he punished the mistakes. Belichick's not perfect, but he will make fewer mistakes than the other coach. Brady don't have Belichick anymore. He has a regular coach, who's going to make mistakes sometimes. And the styles don't match up perfectly. But we knew that going into the season. Why are we acting like it's something new?
Max, listen. You can never tell me anything about a coach doing anything, because the coach's number one job is to identify what his talent does well and then highlight that, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. I get what you want this to be. I get all of that. And nobody, I'm with you. Brady is not what he was. But with that being said, Max, you cannot absolve Bruce Arians or Byron Leftwich and say, just overcome this, Tom Brady, because this is what we're doing. It's just like every
what
year.
What are you mad at Arians about and Leftwich about? Like, you mad about, because Leftwich is offense, but you're like, you want a double, you obviously want two guys on Tyreek Hill, right? But like, what are you mad about Arians, number one, about? What do you do wrong?
The problem with Arians and Byron Leftwich, all right, is this no risk it, no biscuit. It's literally not working. What you want to do, what you want your quarterback to do, is not working. And then there are examples throughout the game of a very similar look to what Tom Brady has done and has had success with, and you do it a couple plays, and then you don't stay with it. Like, there is a problem, man. It's a problem.
So do it Tom Brady's way. So in other words, Tom Brady gets there, and now Arians and Leftwich should just do it Brady's way, and then everything would be okay.
No, I don't say you just do it Brady's way. you major in more of what Brady has done successfully his entire career. That's what you do. That, Max, stop trying to create your narrative. That's common sense. It's common sense.
All I know is, look, we got to move on to Broncos and all that, but Marcus, it's just like Swaggoo.
When we come into an NBA season every year, we talk about, well, James Harden and the small ball can get it done. When we know damn well that the Rockets wasn't going to win no championship playing that type of offense, bro.
Well, no, hold on. That's wrong. Wait a minute. The Rockets came much closer than they should have come to a championship playing that offense. If they wouldn't have played that offense, they wouldn't have gotten as close as they did.
Max, what if they played a different type of offense?
They'd be killed. And
why would they get killed as opposed to making sure you're putting yourself in the best possible situation,
Marcus,
to win a championship?
Let me ask
you. If James Harden can only play in that role, you got a problem with the player, because that role that you're trying to create for him and that system ain't winning you a championship.
Marcus, they had James Harden and a hurt Chris Paul go up against the Warriors with Kevin Durant fully healthy. They got to a game 7 at home. They only got that way because of the way they played. If they would have played a more normal style of basketball, they would have been slaughtered. They would have never gotten to a game 7. But wait, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Let's back up. So the Bucks are going to be like 10-6. You figured them to be about 10-6 when the season started, right? Because, Arians and Brady have opposite styles. Brady just got there, and Brady's not that great anymore. He's okay. He's better. He's a little better than average. Even though the stats say he's a little below average, I think he's a little better than average. Okay, so that's what they have. I want to ask you about the Broncos. We just agree that I'm right there, correct? Okay, good. Let's talk about the Broncos, Marcus. I want to talk about this. Do you think they should have played that game?
Look, man, I don't play no game when you don't have a quarterback to start the game. But, Max, this is the first time ever. No, but that's the way it worked out, because they were irresponsible.
Right.
Like, no, I don't think you should play a game with no quarterbacks on your roster. But
I do. Marcus. Let me tell you why, okay? I think you're right about they were irresponsible, right? And the game was no good. Broncos probably weren't going to win anyway. But the game was no good because they didn't have a quarterback. But, brother, we're in a pandemic. There's a risk.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get through this season, right? Now, if they were in like a motorcycle accident or something like that, they didn't have any quarterbacks, you're still going to play the game. You play with what you got. You activate a quarterback. You do your best. In this case, they didn't have quarterbacks because the quarterbacks weren't wearing masks. They spread it amongst each other because they weren't wearing masks. And now the other team, the Saints, should have to postpone a game and mess around with their schedule because the Broncos, these players who didn't want to go into a bubble, right, in the NFL, the Broncos quarterbacks aren't following protocol. Now they're on the IR, basically. And because basically they're on the IR, I'll call it COVID list, whatever. It's the IR, basically. You need to postpone the game? Why?
Listen, Max, I'm not here to argue that point with you. All right, that's a valid point, and that's why they played the game. And technically, what you're saying is that's the punishment that you get for not following protocol. I'm with that. All I'm thinking about is the perspective from the dude that got to go out there and actually play quarterback that's never played quarterback before. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about how effed up that situation was for Hinton. How bad of a position that his own team put him in, right? So, listen, I get it. Like, I get it. It's just like the Ravens, right? It's a situation with the strength coach not following protocol. And technically, your punishment is having to play because of this. I understand all of that. And I understand that the other team does not deserve to be put in that situation. But when you ask me specifically about the Broncos, Hinton don't deserve to be put in that situation either.
All right, listen. You got to go do NFL Live. You guys are killing it. You and Orlovsky and Mina Kimes and everybody. I love the show. Go do your thing. Thank you for coming on. I hope you now let everybody know, in fact, that that they shouldn't have played, that they should have played the game regardless of the quarterback situation. And of course, I'm right about Brady. But the great Marcus Spears, ladies and gentlemen, there he is. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Giants, New York football Giants, they won the game. But what did they lose? That's the question.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
So the Giants, the New York football Giants, picked up their third straight win to take over the NFC East. They're 4-7. Entering week 9, the Giants had a 2% chance to win the East, the lowest in the division, according to ESPN's FPI. But if the Eagles lose to the Seahawks tonight, that would be Seahawks tonight, Monday Night Football, the Giants would have the best chance to win the division, over 40% among the four teams. They'd be at 40. However, those chances would take a hit, obviously, if Daniel Jones, who left Sunday with a hamstring injury, misses any games. I mean, Colt McCoy, I guess the offense got a little worse. I don't know. It was hard to tell. A couple things. First, when Joe Judge started with all his tough guy coach stuff early, I thought clown show. He doesn't have the credibility with these players to be treating them that way. He's acting as though he's won a couple Super Bowls already, and it's his way or the highway. A coach is running laps and stuff. It's not going to work. But what I think about something and what the facts are, two different things, it changes my opinion. So far, the early returns on Joe Judge are looking pretty good. And even before the Giants started winning, I mean, they only have four wins, but you could see they were competing. Joe Judge has been impressive so far as a rookie head coach. Daniel Jones is showing improvement in spite of the fact that the O-line's nothing to write home about and he doesn't have Saquon Barkley. Nevertheless, Daniel Jones was taken sixth overall. You know who was taken sixth overall the year before? Quentin Nelson. You know who was taken sixth overall the year after? Justin Herbert. Let's talk about the first-round quarterbacks in the last couple seasons. Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa. Where does Daniel Jones fit in? Like, if Daniel Jones, let's say next year he's a solid average quarterback, because I'd say right now he's a little bit below average starting quarterback. That's okay, he's only in his second year. Let's say by next year he's a solid average starting quarterback. 3 years? The number sixth overall pick in the draft and three seasons of development to get to average? Even if he was a tick above average next year. The Giants can't ever draft a superstar quarterback? Why, other teams do. I mean, if you reach at six for a quarterback, and then after 3 or 4 years, you're like, hey, we have a tick above average starting quarterback. What, are you joking? You can literally sign a guy like that in the offseason. Solid guy. Go get Teddy Bridgewater in the offseason. No, you want a stud. Is Daniel Jones a stud? No, he's not. He's throwing behind receivers. He's throwing late. He's not reading coverages quickly enough. He's not throwing accurately enough. Now, he is also capable of making nice throws. Like, as I said, he compensates for that in other ways. For a second-year quarterback, solid. I like Daniel Jones. If someone says, Daniel Jones, aside, yeah, man, he's only in his second year, and I would say he's already a middle-of-the-pack kind of guy. If you force me to choose, I'd say low average, but still. A tick below average. It's not bad for a second-year quarterback. But damn, man, can the Giants get that right? If they reach at six, can they get a great one? Because that's not Daniel Jones. And do you think Daniel Jones would be a great quarterback? They're great quarterbacks in the NFL. The Giants shouldn't have one. They're great quarterbacks in the NFL. Right? Like, forget about Patrick Mahomes. That's a different kind of animal. Or Aaron Rodgers. I get it. But there are... Like Deshaun Watson's really good. Drew Brees is still really good when he's playing. You have like Roethlisberger, who came in with Eli, is still playing at almost a Pro Bowl level. You have Philip Rivers is too, by the way, and Eli's retired. Although, Eli won two Super Bowls. I'll never say anything bad about Eli that way. But, like, Eli won a superstar mostly. Like, the reason I love Eli is because he was... also, kind of like that, solid average, maybe a tick above most seasons. And when it mattered most, he was great. He was an all-time great. So you got it, Eli. And also, he was an Iron Man. Daniel Jones, obviously not an Iron Man. I hope the injury gets better. And we don't know how he's going to play in the big game. We haven't seen him there, and it doesn't look like they're going to get close anytime soon. Cullen in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Hey, man, I got one question for you.
Yeah.
All right. Tomorrow, you are the new head coach and OC for Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do you listen to the guy with six rings, do it his way that got him those six rings, or do you do it your way?
Well, he didn't do it his way. He did it Belichick's way. Let's be very clear about that. That was Belichick. Brady was a great soldier, a general even, right? He was an extension of Belichick on the field, the way Tim Duncan was an extension of Greg Popovich, Bill Russell of Red Auerbach. Like, right? Like, I get it. He's an extension. But, or sorry, like, you know, Larry Bird of Casey Jones, whatever. But an extension of the guy. But it's not Brady's way. Brady was doing it Belichick's way. Why do you think Belichick, with a lesser offense than he had last year, with a much lesser defense, in a season where his quarterback got COVID and is coming back from a catastrophic injury and is in a new system, is now one game below 500? One. What, because he's lucky, Belichick? No. It's not Brady's way. It's Belichick's way. And yes, Bruce Arians is not as good as Belichick. But if you're saying what Brady needs is a perfect coach or the closest thing to a perfect coach, I got news for you. He had that. His name was Bill Belichick. He won six Super Bowls with him. Now he's not there anymore. So now we all want to blame Bruce Arians for being less than perfect? Come on, man. Tom Brady threw a couple picks. He was, but, you know, all in all, Brady has been a solid middle-pack quarterback this year on a loaded team. Can we be honest about it? I'll take one more real quick, Raj. Thad in Maine. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, Thad. Mitch in New Jersey. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Happy holidays, Max. I agree. I think I want to see what Hurts has. He spent the second-round pick. But not every team can bench their star when they're going bad. Take the Rams, for instance. Goff is so up and down. I love to see them draft J.D. Daniels. That's just my opinion. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, I would say this about Jalen Hurts. I don't think you start Jalen Hurts because it gives you a better chance to win right now. I don't know that Jalen Hurts does that. I suspect he gives you a lesser chance to win. I don't think it's about winning this next game. I think it's about holding Carson Wentz responsible, seeing if you can fix that, showing the team you can't play that way and get to play. Sit him down the way McNabb got sat down the same year McNabb took him to the NFC Championship game. That's why. The worst thing that could happen is Carson Wentz plays a big game against Seattle and the Eagles somehow win. And then they wind up winning a terrible NFC East. And he goes around thinking, I've done it again. I've done it again. I'm so great. And comes back next year and does the same thing. I guarantee you, if that happens, Wentz won't be the Eagles quarterback in 2022. It'll be done. He won't start anymore. Should Nate Robinson have been the most popular meme this weekend?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of these.
No doubt.
All right.
Max.
There it is.
Let me get to the most popular meme of the weekend.
All right.
Nate Robinson had no business being in the ring Saturday.
No, obviously not. He's fighting a guy in Jake Paul.
So you say nonsense?
Obviously. Oh, sorry. No doubt. He's fighting a guy in Jake Paul who obviously has been taking boxing seriously over the last couple of years. And he is also a novice, really. But, like, could I see Jake Paul turning into, not like a world class, but like a 10-round fighter? Like a real guy who could go 10 good rounds on a professional level? Yeah, I could. He's dedicated to it. And Nate is thinking, because Nate was always super athletic and very scrappy. He's a tough guy. That's not enough to get in. Like, there's no muscle memory there. Athletes who get in with guys who are trained, they can have success here and there. But when they get into exchanges, muscle memory is always going to win. I mean, look at Nate. He's just winging punches.
Yeah.
He obviously has no experience, and he walked into a bigger guy and got caught. No. But by the way, he's a consenting adult. He wants to fight. He fought. Takes a lot of guts to get in that ring. Precisely because something like that can happen, and them's the breaks.
All right. Hey, I know we've got a lot of COVID issues in the NFL, but hey, we're lucky to get this far in the NFL.
But one of the reasons we've gotten this far is because people's tolerance for COVID, because of reckless leadership at the highest levels of our government, is so much higher than it ought to have been. You know, as I said, like, I never thought it was going to get to 200,000 new cases a day and over a quarter of a million Americans dead and people acting like, hey, yeah, let's try as much as possible to get back to business as normal. But given how drastically changed people's expectations, people's kind of threshold for dead Americans was much higher than I thought it would be, we've come far in the NFL season. And by the way, advances in technology, rapid testing, better access to tests, all those things. Yes, we are much farther along in the NFL season than I ever thought we'd be.
Same here. Hey, Bo Jackson turns 58 today. You know Bo? Is he the best athlete you've ever seen, Max?
Nah, son. I can't say that. I can't say he is. He's in the conversation because he was a great running back. And he was on his way to be, he was already a very dangerous baseball player. Like, he had speed, he had a great arm, and he had power. And actually, the year he got hurt, he was having his best season as a baseball player. He was, like, not just dangerous, like hitting a lot of home runs, but legitimately getting to be a good hitter. But Deion Sanders was kind of half dipping his, you know, going back and forth baseball, never really played a full season, and was a legit leadoff man, and was the greatest corner of all time. I think the second greatest defensive player to Lawrence Taylor who ever lived. And then you have guys like Jim Brown who are great lacrosse, and Wilt Chamberlain who were also great at like volleyball and the 110-meter hurdles, not to mention Jim Thorpe. I can't put Bo alone in his own category. He's in there, but he's not number one.
All right, and real quick, yo, folks are sleeping on the 8-3 Browns.
Nah, son. They got the Browns' number. They try to cover as much as possible for Baker Mayfield, who is a good enough quarterback, but that's it. Boy, this is too easy for Mahomes.